The speaker for this session is Brother Joseph Panucci, whose subject is The Privilege to Serve.
What a privilege this is indeed. Last month, by the grace of God, I visited some of the Lord's people in Europe, and I also made some contact with various newspaper company and radio company in Portugal, Spain, Italy, Romania, and Greece. The highlight of my trip was in Romania. For 2 days, with the elders and then with the class, we discussed the willingness of the Don brethren to help them to promulgate the truth in Romania. On the third day, I was asked to speak, to give a discourse, and I begin my remarks by saying to them that by birth I am a Roman and you are Romans. That was the beginning of a sweet relationship with them. During my visit, 350 brethren were there, most of them from the city of Cluj, another little town nearby. It was a blessing for me to be with them. I met 3 dear brethren that because of the truth, the government under communist system jailed them for 20 years, but they only served 5 or 6 or 7 years each. Due to the economy and the money that has no value, Romania is very depressing. The government is hanging on a shoestring. They fear a new revolution. Therefore, for that reason, all you see guns and soldiers all over the place. But the brethren, they are rich in spirit and rich in truth. They all send their greeting to you. Also the little class in Spain sent their greeting to you. The brethren in Greece, they sent their love to you. The Italian brethren, they also sent their love to you. I had the privilege to baptize one of them, a faithful brother, in the Mediterranean Sea. And I would like to share with you 3 remarks made by 3 different people. In Lisbon, Portugal, I contacted the rector of the largest radio stations in Portugal, and after a brief conversation with him, he played the Frank Ernest cassette twice, and then he said, I quote, "It is about time that someone preached some logical truth in this land of darkness and religion confusion." In Lisbon, in the newspaper office, I show the ad, "Why God Permits Evil," to the lady in charge. She read the ad and said, "This is a good advertisement. I have a full page in the obituary in the newspaper, and I will put the ad in the middle of the obituary, and I'm sure it will bring some comfort and consolations to some of these people that have lost their dear ones in death. I would like to show you that ad, if I may. And this is the ad that she put in for us. Why God permits evil. In Cadiz, Spain, the director of the radio station that I contact played the Frank Ernest cassette. And then he says to me, do you know that the Pope called the Spanish people a country without a faith? This I didn't know. Then he said, I hope someday he will chew his words. Brethren, there is no greater privilege that the Lord has granted to us to serve him and to serve his people. And as we know, the Christian covenant is an agreement to sacrifice, not the sacrifice of animals, but the sacrifice of himself or herself. You recall that in the service of the tabernacles, animal were offered in sacrifice. But through the Apostle Paul, we are admonished to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. After extending this invitation, Paul tells us that to the renewing of our mind, we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in order that there would be no misunderstanding concerning what involved in doing the Lord's will, Paul, in succeeding verses, mentioned many details, all which we may properly consider as commandment of Jesus. And we know that Paul was an inspired mouthpiece of the Master. Let us consider some of them. In 1 Corinthians 16, 12, 60, I will read from the Living Bible, says, there are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the same, who does the work in all of us. And then after explaining that there are many members of the body of Christ, and all of them do not have the same talent, nevertheless, they are all members of one another, and urge us to be faithful in whatever talent we have and whatever privilege the Lord grant to us. By the grace of God, among the Lord's people, we see many talents that faithfully are being used by the Lord. Whether it is the responsibility of a ministry, teaching, exhorting, or any other way that the Lord wants us to use, it must be done in the spirit of a love and in the spirit of a humility. There is no other way. Paul continued by saying, let love be without dissimulations. Our obedience to Christ's new commandment it to be sincere and wholehearted. If it is so, we will be diligent in doing the things that Paul mentioned and giving heed to the further details of the perfect will of God. Then we will be kindly and affectionate to one another. We brotherly love, honor, and mutual respect. Then true love causes us to rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. These are the words of the Master. If we give a diligence to obey the Lord's commandment, it will mean genuine love in our hearts for the brethren, and a determination to lay down our lives for them. And we know in return for this love, we have a divine love shower upon us with all that it means of peace and joy. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is so intimate that we can, through prayer, approach our Heavenly Father, throne, day and night. He never sleeps. He's always there. And we can identify his voice through the truth. I remember when I was in Italy, I was a member of a 65 musician of a band. And when we rehearsed classical music, he was amazed that the conductor over the band was able to identify an instrument that made a mistake. Brethren, by the grace of God, we can recognize the voice of truth. We can recognize the voice of the Lord. Yes, we love the Lord, the truth and the brethren. He loves us in the same way. Jesus gave his life for us. And in our mind we can feel his presence. And we know that he's always on our side. We too can touch the truth. We can touch him through the truth. And consider the words of Jesus in Matthew 18:20, when he said, "For when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Thus, when meetings on convention like this one are arranged, we can rest assured the Lord is with us and we will be blessed. We live in the world of fear, violence, and selfishness. And in such environment, faith and confidence on Heavenly Father is of paramount importance and indispensable. And when we connect our faith and confidence, it radiates the glorious light and provisions of our Heavenly Father's love. Yes, we have been called to glory and virtue, and thy faithful God has made every necessary provision to enable us to attend that to which we have been called. Among these provisions are the Lord's exceeding precious promises. And that is through the mighty working of this promise that we are partakers of the divine nature. By the encouragement, by their authority, by our own faithfulness to all the conditions attached to them and by the inspirational power of our lives. And as we press on towards the prize of the high calling, we continuously need the strength of which the love of the Lord will provide for us. There is a possibility that we may, like a little baby, cry to the Lord under severe circumstances. And there is no possible circumstances in our Christian lives in which God has not promised to be with us and to supply our needs. Our faith and confidence is based on the promises of God, because we know that He is a faithful God. He is too wise to err and too loving to be unkind towards us. His wisdom can easily discern whether or not it is best to give us strength to endure certain trials or to provide escape from them. Remember and never forget, His decision is always based upon what it is best for us as new creatures in Christ. His love for us is so strong and comprehensive that no matter what experience may come to us, we can rest sure nothing can touch us without His permission. You recall that Job was a servant of God, and before the adversary, the devil, could touch the life of that faithful servant, he had to have the permission of God. We are not servant. We are sons of God, a precious property that belonged to the Lord. And he, the devil, he wouldn't dare to touch the one that God loves so much. On the other hand, it is not the case of blindly trusting the Lord in the sense of not knowing the ultimate purpose of the experience which He permits to come into our lives. To the Christian, He has revealed that purpose, which is that in us the image of the Master may be developed. In preparations for the blessed privilege of reigning with Him in His kingdom of glory through the endless ages of eternity. Love and trust are essential because with our limited comprehensions and our short sight viewpoint, it is at times impossible to understand just how this or their experience, whether of joy or sorrow, may be the best at time. If we were the masters of our own destiny, so far as our day-by-day walk in life were concerned, probably we would change lots of things. But in doing so, we would create circumstances and conditions which would be detrimental to ourselves as new creatures in Christ. How essential it is then to develop a complete confidence in the love of our Heavenly Father's care, and to learn that His way is always the best. If sometime we do not agree, his wisdom and his love for us knows that which will be the best for us as new creatures in Christ. As new creatures in Christ, we should always remember that our loving Father cares for us. His protections, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. In the final victory which he has promised to give us through Christ is not based on the great things for which we accomplish, because we cannot accomplish much in the service of the Lord, but rather on the base of our love for him, for Jesus, for the truth, and especially for the brethren. You remember that Jesus asked a personal question to the Apostle Peter. We know that Peter loved the Master very dearly, and the Master loved him in the same way. Now then, if the Lord would ask you the same personal question that he asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these, what answer would you give? In the case of Peter, it was the fishing business. In our case, what proof can we give to the Lord that we love him more than anything which is very dear to us? Oh, yes, we may inquire, as Peter did, and say, like he did, Lord, why do you ask me this question? Thou knowest that I love thee. The Lord did not ask the question for his own sake, but for our own sake. We may think, as has been said, that we love the Lord above anything else, but when certain tests come to us, we find that we really love our own way better than his way. But our loving God is not testing us to find out how much or how little we love him. He knows how much we love him better than we do. But we do not know until the test comes to us. And the way we meet the test will answer the question, lovest thou me more than these? When the Lord asked the question to us in our answer similar to the one that Peter gave to the Lord, yes, Lord, I love thee, then he will say to you and I, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And what a privilege this is to serve the Lord's people. But not until then. I'm sure that if Jesus was in this hall today, we would consider it a great honor to serve him in any way, but in serving his brethren, we are serving him. Remember what he said, inasmuch as he has done it in one of the least of these my brethren, he have done it unto me. Our lives as a Christians made over trials. They are necessary to develop us in the likeness of the Master. Peter called them the fiery trials. At consecration, we have a day to get our lives to the Lord's as a burnt offering. You recall that the law of the burnt offering was a perfect sacrifice made willingly and entirely burnt on the altar. And now the trials are what consume the sacrifice. And sometime when the fire is strong, our sacrifice begin to jump off the altar. David had the answer to the situation when he said, "Bind the sacrifice with the cords, even to the horns of the altar." So, my dear brethren, to keep our sacrifice on the altar, we need to use the cords of love and zeal for the truth upon the brethren. Because we love the Lord more than we love earthly comfort and pleasure, and we want to serve the Lord, and in doing so, we are feeding the Lord's sheep. And to resolve that we will appreciate them more than ever, because they are our people. They are God's people. It was He who selected every one of you and everyone throughout the world. It is He who has touched their heart, because no one can come into the knowledge of the truth unless the Lord touched the heart. He has touched your heart. He has touched my heart. So therefore, each one of you are a precious stone, a precious jewel, because it was He who has called you to this precious truth. And this does not mean just a few of them or certain one whose disposition are comparable to a disposition according to the flesh. It means all the brethren. The Lord has called them all out of the darkness into this marvelous light. Now then, are we honoring His choice by extending our understanding and to love all who has He chosen? This is an important question, my dear brethren, to ponder in our hearts when we think about the new commandment that Jesus gave to disciples in the upper room. You remember what He said to them? After He cautioned Peter against too much self-assurance, He explained that He was going away to prepare a place for them, and He would come again to receive them into Himself, that where He was, there they might be also. And we know what a glorious prosper this has must have been for them. And what did He say to them in that night? To love one another as I have loved you. Brethren, this is a commandment. We know that at that moment they did not understand the real significance of that wonderful exhortation. We know that it was impossible for them to understand the real significance. But my dear brethren, we understand the significance. to love the brethren as he have loved us. And if it's necessary to give our life for them. Oh, my dear brethren, I wish some of you go overseas once in a while. Like a brother Ray Krupa show us the beautiful face of the dear ones in India. Other country. How they hunger for truth. They're looking for something. They're looking for hope. And what a privilege. We have to be able to go to them and give encouragement and give them a booklet, give the message of hope for the truth, which is very precious to our heart. I believe, my dear brethren, that the power of the Holy Spirit to create in us the zeal and urgency to bear witness to the truth. And if that power of the Holy Spirit is not in us, we will never have the urgency and the desire to bear witness to the truth. On the other hand, if we have received the truth and enjoy it for ourselves, and we are happy in the thought that others will learn about the truth in the next age, this could be a test. We must remember and never forget that the power of the Holy Spirit point always in the direction of activity in the service of the truth. And not a self-satisfied attitude which is so pleasing to the flesh. If this invisible power is molded in our light and heart, we will make sacrifice, time, strength, and means in order to proclaim the message of the truth. And we know that the result of effort are in the Lord's hands, because it is He who giveth the increase. Yes, we have the witness of the Spirit that we are children of God. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of the promise. The Holy Spirit is power of God. And we can rely on that power to supply all our needs, strength, courage, and guidance as we continue to lay down our lives in sacrifice, in serving the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Let us rejoicing in the assurance that our Heavenly Father loves us. He's always on our side. When we need Him, He cares for us and will supply our needs. All we need to do is to be obedient to their new commandment they give us to disciples in the memorable night, that we love one another and serve one another as He has served us. You can just imagine, my dear brethren, the Son of God kneeled down and washed the disciples' feet is a servant. Can we do the same thing for the brethren? Can we wash each other's feet? We don't need that. Every opportunity, my dear brethren, that we have, let us take advantage. Oh, we may say, I can't speak. I don't have the talent. I don't know how. As a brother David Bruce mentioned at the beginning of the convention, this is nothing but an excuse. There are no excuses among the Lord's people. Each one of you have a talent. Let us use it for the glory of God. Let us serve one another in love, in the spirit of love, in truth, in affection. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Believe me, brethren, if this wasn't the case, oh, he would have left you way back where you came from. Perhaps some denomination, some other place throughout the world. But it's not the case. He has called you for a purpose. To bring the message of the truth to every opportunity that you have. We do not know how much time we have. Every night, every day in our lives, we pray for the kingdom. Because we pray, because we want the kingdom to be established. This is our desire. Because we know that the only solution for this world in flame and violence is the kingdom of God. Where in that blessed kingdom, every single human being on the face of the earth will have an opportunity to know the Lord and worship him in truth and in spirit. You know, I'm going to share a little experience with you, my dear brethren. Sometime through the little experience, we can learn a lot of lessons. As you know, we are dealing with many radio stations overseas, and sometimes we have a difficulty in sending money to them. So sometimes we have to go to the various channel and various banks, their individual banks, such as the Brazilian banks, or Argentinian banks, some Chile banks. And not too long ago, I had to go to New York City to send some money to a radio station in Santiago, Chile. So we went to this bank in New York City, and I explained to the lady in charge over the bank what we wanted to do and the reason why we sent the money to the radio station in Santiago, Chile. So she filled up the forms, and she gave me a receipt. And then I said, how much is the charge? She says to me, generally we charge 1% to send money overseas. But to you it doesn't cost you anything. I did this to you as I did to the Lord. She says to me, I read the Bible, and I have learned a lot of things from the Bible. So therefore, it is my privilege and honor to send this money free of charge and as I did to the Lord. At radio stations in Sicily that I contact, play the cassette. I would have told you this at the beginning, but I wasn't sure if I had the time to finish my few thoughts. He played the cassette, and he says to me, "I never heard such a beautiful message of a truth." He says to me, "How can I tell you how much it's going to cost you? I don't have the heart to listen to such a message to tell you what it cost you." But I said, "You must know what the cost would be." "I don't know." He says, "I can't tell you. If I do, I don't sleep at night. This is a message of God, a message of truth. All I can tell you is when you go back, you speak to the committee there at the dawn, and you make any effort that you want, whether it is 2 cents, 5 cents, 10 liras, or 50 liras, or whatever you wanted to give me, it's fine with me. But please don't insist, because if you listen to such a beautiful message of truth, I don't have the heart to tell you what the cost would be. May I have the cassette placed with me so that I can take with me home and play the cassette to my wife?" Oh, I tell you, brethren, what a thrill was in my heart to hear that man say those things. On the train, traveling from Rome down to South, I met a gentleman sitting across from me. I opened my Bible. He says to me, "What you are reading?" I said, "I read the Bible." "The Bible?" "Oh, yes," he says. "I remember many years ago my grandfather had a Bible. And he used to tell us a little story about the Bible. Tell me, what is going to come over this world? What is the situation throughout the world? What does the Bible say about the situation throughout the world?" You know, I have a tremendous fear. Not so much for me, as so much as for my children. "You think that there's going to be an atomic war? You think the world is going to be destroyed? These are the things that goes in the mind of our people today, my dear brethren. And what a privilege we have when we be able to give them a word of a comfort, a word of encouragement about the kingdom, about the blessings that the Lord has in store for them in the glorious kingdom for which we pray day by day. Brethren, I wish I could relate to you many more experiences in relation to the truth. I must close.
May God bless thee and keep thee and make his face to shine upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.